Cards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to the slow death of the fear narrative and the rise of apathy. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war. Good evening, patriots. And tonight is Friday, April 19th in the year 2024. And I'm in Des Moines, Iowa, which I've never been to Des Moines, Iowa. But what an awesome little city this is, including its state capital, which I'm going to talk about in a second. I'll tell you, it's right out of architecture that was never built by Americans. I'll tell you that. This is like Tartarian stuff, if you know what that is. It's amazing. It's an incredible capital building, but I guarantee you it wasn't built by us. It's just amazing. So anyway, pup report before we get going tonight. They are currently sleeping about 6 feet from me in their crate. They've had a wonderful day. We had a good travel. They've done an amazing job of traveling with me as we move now to Des Moines. And they've literally been traveling since for about close to 2 weeks now. And they've been just adapting to that and doing a great job. They enjoy their stops at the Love's truck stop or some other truck stop when if I don't have a Love's nearby. And they like rolling in the grass and being very difficult to get back into the Jeep, but that's okay. They're good. And tonight we're at just a beautiful little B&B, Airbnb, which is owned by Julie. And I'm gonna have Nikki post some of these Airbnbs, just great places and great people. This particular one's an adorable house in an older part of Des Moines near downtown. Has a wonderful front yard, and she used to own a Newfoundland. And so they actually came by to see the pups tonight, which was awesome. And it's fenced in, so they've been out there playing and running around and making a lot of noise, barking in the neighborhood at everything that goes by. And so tonight, they're sleeping right now in the show so that I don't have to go manage their barking, and then I'll go back outside and let them out and play for a while before they go to bed. So they're happy, they're adapting, and there's no mud here tonight, which is kind of nice. Because I don't know if you heard the story from last night, but everything was good in the backyard where I was until it rained. And then when it rained, they found every pile of dirt they could find, and they coated themselves with mud. And then at some point last night, they made a visit into the house and just absolutely tracked mud everywhere. So I got that cleaned up. So anyway, it's been a great way to get them bonding to me as we travel. It's a really good way to get puppies acclimated to travel and to get them just to be well-disciplined, and they're doing a great job. So there you go. And the Tibetan Mastiff is an amazing breed, super smart, and learns amazingly quickly. I've never seen a breed learn this fast and adapt so well. So this is really a great statement to the animal and its breeding. Okay, so before we get going tonight, we have a couple of things and a couple of great sponsors that I want to mention. Obviously, we are in a critical time and some insane things are going on in the world. We know that most emergencies come without any warning. We know that. And when the next one comes, you won't have a second to spare unpacking and preparing. You need to get ready now before an emergency strikes. And one will soon. We can pretty much count on that. Your supplies should be within reach, ready to grab and go at a moment's notice. Secure the supplies at our website, preparewithbards.com. Preparewithbards.com. You can start with a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply, which is awesome. They're helping millions of American families prepare since 2008. And My Patriot Supply are experts in all things self-reliance. So if you head on over there to preparewithbards.com, you can see that they have their 4-week emergency food kits that offer 2,000 calories every day, protected by heavy-duty 4-layer packaging These kits last up to 25 years in storage. These delicious foods are sealed inside rugged buckets with handles designed to grab in a hurry, which is good. Go to preparewithbars.com, get your many food kits as your family needs for $50 off each food kit. So that's just wonderful. They will ship fast and free in unmarked boxes, so your postal man won't know what to steal. Save $50 per kit at preparewithbars.com, preparewithbars.com. Pretty cool, I'll tell you right now. Now, one other thing just to keep in mind before we go in here, we know that we are also dealing with the post effects of the COVID con. And it's unfortunately, the more that we learn about the vaccines, which is immense, the more that we uncover, the darker it gets, which is just normal. The world of lies, coercion, fear, forcing things to happen, all that has been the definition of COVID con and the vaccine. Now, while many people stood against it and tried not to take it, unfortunately, those that did take it are shedding and people can become exposed to spike proteins. Now, the thing is that we need to figure a way to clean those from the body. Warrior Essentials has a patent-pending formula that works with the power of the body to help purify your body of the spike proteins. Now, to qualify this is not FDA approved, and it is not something that you can use. You can't use this product to intended for diagnosis, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. We wouldn't want anything like that, and especially with the FDA, since they were the ones that have approved all of our vaccines, I don't think you have anything to worry about. Now, this product is designed for anyone who is jabbed or around people who were jabbed, which means just about every one of us. And it comes in a three-phase process. Remove the toxins, repair the circulatory health, restore your epigenome, which is awesome. There's nothing like it anywhere on the market. And today, there's a special offer for Bars Nation only. You go over to recoverwithbars.com, recoverwithbars.com, save up to 50% off of regular prices plus free shipping. Then you help rid your body of those toxic spikes, proteins, and you boost your health. It's a good deal. So again, that's recoverwithbars.com, recoverwithbars.com, up to 50% off regular prices and free shipping. And there you go. So those two things, you just want to race out and get all those things right now. All right, Patriots, one of the things we're witnessing right now is literally the death of the fear narrative. And part of the reason we're hearing the death of the fear narrative is we're going through the reality of the darkness which has ensued around us. I want to begin with a report tonight on Shirley Temple. This is a sad report. This is somebody who's done a lot of digging on Shirley Temple. And to get an idea just how far back this child exploitation and the Hollywood methods of MKUltra go, this goes all the way back to her three-year-old period. Take a listen.
Another edition of We Owe Shirley Temple a huge apology. I had to take breaks and cry researching for this video. So we're going to talk about it, and we're going to keep talking about it. At just 3 years old, Shirley Temple started her career and became the biggest star in Hollywood. Weird. In the next 7 years, she would make 29 films. Two words, child labor. Her first role in a film called War Babies, she played a three-year-old prostitute, if you know what I mean. Because that's normal. Not to mention that there are several photos from the films Bright Eyes and Poor Little Rich Girl where this little baby angel is being groped by an entire group of grown men. Now, we know how she was treated on screen, and then off screen, it was just absolutely even worse. Producers derobing in front of her, trying to her escaping, so many stories. Or, I don't know, how about the black box they had on film sets where they would place child stars if they weren't performing properly? The box was pitch black and filled with ice. If that doesn't make you want to cry, like, I don't know what will. She went on to say that she had earaches and styes thanks to that experience. Now I know you're gonna ask, where's her mom? When she was 12 years old and one of those producers derobed in front of her, she went to her mom and told her. And her mom laughed and said, oh, honey, he did the same thing to me. And then they just went on carrying on working in Hollywood. Her mom also lied to her about her age. When she turned 13, she was supposed to turn 12. And you know why they lied about her age? Because they wanted her to look even younger than she was. How young would you like them exactly? So now we know on screen and off is absolute hell on earth for Shirley. How about another layer of the press? You think the press is bad now? The shit they got away with in the 40s? Deplorable. One grown man went on to talk about her neat and tidy rump. She's 3 when he said that. Shirley went on to sue his ass, and I couldn't fucking support it more. And then there was the actual public, you know, her fans. People would come up to her and try to pull her hair because they thought it was a wig. When in all actuality, she was in a grueling grooming process to get that hair that was painful and burned her scalp. Who the fuck goes up to a child star and pulls their hair? Apparently this happened often to her. There were also rumors in the press that everyone started to believe that she was actually a 30-year-old woman, to the point that they investigated her. Now, you know why they started that rumor, right? Because they knew they had filmed child abuse and called it entertainment. And they had to find a way to blame it on her. And they did. Which brings me here. Another edition of You Think You're Looking at a Super Cute, Super Fashionable Couple, but really it's Shirley Temple and her husband, who started dating when she was 15 and he was 22. Do you think she would have accepted this behavior if she hadn't been groomed her entire life for it? Shirley unfortunately passed away in 2014, but before that she had become quite the humanitarian. And I just admire her strength so much and her ability to turn something so painful into something so beautiful. I wish that she could be here now while the conversation surrounding this topic is changing so much, but I know that she's guiding us, you know, and she's the reason why I'm going to keep talking about it because she deserves it. I gotta go cry again.
The tragedy that exists within Hollywood and was the foundation of shaping a nation is unprecedented, and it goes back, far back in our country's history, and the willingness for people just to accept things for carte blanche and not question is unbelievable. We really have to start asking how we got there. A nation that literally was awake and questioned everything, which was the beginning of our nation. And I often tell this story, the story of John Jay, our first Supreme Court Justice, who negotiated the treaty of after the Revolutionary War with England for trade. People were so upset about it that he said that he could ride from Philadelphia to New York at night and see his entire way lit by the effigies that were being burned of him. That's a nation that's awake. That's a nation that's engaged. How did we go from there to this 1930s and 40s model where we were completely asleep and not seeing what was right before us? Part of that is the trauma that happens over the years of war, like Civil War, War of 1812, the American Indian War, the World War One, and then later World War II. The Depression and the various things that traumatized the public. The trials of Sacco and Vanzetti, which is an important one to look at, because that's when the first application of the Terrorist Act was used to hang two people that were anarchists of the, meaning not the sense that we know today, but the anarchists, which meant they didn't believe in government. Or the Palmer Raids, which were in the 1920s, which was the way to circumvent the Constitution and start confiscating and raiding people to break them for political dissonance. Our country was changing radically, and all of this pivots ultimately off of the sinking of the Titanic when it went to full speed. And then we have World War One. And the real question is, what was World War One? Because there was something much more to it than we're going to know. I came across an interesting history the other day, and I can't validate this yet, but it's a stunning look at the names of our states. And every one of these names is tied to an old Aryan language, which links, it's connected to Russian. And every one of the states has a meaning that we don't even know about. And it's Russian, it was a Russian piece talking about this, talking about the Russian, what each of these states' names meant in Russian. How is that possible? It's possible because we don't really know our own histories, but we're starting to learn them. And as we do, we're starting to see the surface of things of just what we're seeing now is far deeper and more despicable than anything we can possibly imagine. And they're doing everything they can to try to cover it again, to try to topple the system and to try to do a great reset. The great reset isn't economic as much as it is erasing the history so that people become unhinged from what their roots are and then become compliant to the new fascist environment. Edward Dowd wrote today, he says, 5 years ago, I was very cynical. As I reflect upon the level of cynicism, I am amazed at how naive I was back then. This is the death of these fear narratives. We've gone through the cycle and we've suffered the consequences of them, but we're also seeing to them just how many of them actually have no effect on us anymore. And with this comes a harsh and brutal reality that we're dealing with something much more evil than we've ever possibly could conceive. Something purely evil that is able to do to us things that we never imagined. Take a listen to this on the schools now and what they did to a husband's or an ex-husband's daughter.
The school obviously knew perfectly well that your ex-wife had decided that your son was now her daughter. Nobody thought twice about this?
I was the last to know in a unilateral gender conversion of my child. We're talking right about 5 years old.
What would that do to a boy if you were to do something that evil to him at that age?
Over two phone calls totaling 45 minutes, Dr. Tran came to the conclusion that my son was a candidate for puberty blockers. That's why I'm coming forward here now, so that I can hopefully inspire other parents to come forward and talk about this, because I know that I'm not alone.
I assume every person who abetted the sex crime against your son was a liberal white woman, I'm just guessing. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Since I have exposed these people, she changed her name. It's like the Bon Jovi song, only the names have changed because she's still doing the same thing.
Like insects, when you turn the lights on, they scurried under the cabinets.
Yes, they do.
And this is the world we're now in. As we start to expose this, the depth of depravity is overwhelming, and we're starting to see through almost everything. And that momentum is picking up. More and more people are starting to see it. The control that they have over us is starting to diminish. But the problem is that it's leading to understandings of things that are so massive that we have to really start to look at what are we going to do to fix it. And this is where, unfortunately, the magnitude of the problem without having a root in faith leads too many to the position of apathy. Take a listen to this. This is another piece by Tucker in an interview discussing with Joe Rogan some of the places and pieces of the current system. His comments are interesting in the truth of what he would be acceptable to him, even though not ideal, versus the kind of mockery and insanity of what we're being called a democracy under which we live. Take a listen.
Particularly galling and hard to live with is when you call that system a democracy.
Right.
That's too dishonest for me. I would much rather live in a monarchy where everyone thinks the king has been assigned by God to rule over us and his whims are law. And, you know, that makes sense. I don't like it. but at least it has internal coherence.
Right.
When they stand up and pass a $60 billion funding bill for Ukraine, when 70% of the population doesn't want it, when they're ignoring the actual problems in our country, like the economy and the border, and they're hauling in Congress over the weekend to pass something that people don't want, while ignoring the things that people do want, and if they do the same kind of thing again and again for like 50 years, and they call it a democracy, that will drive you insane.
Yeah.
Because it's just too dishonest. Why not just say, we don't give a shit what you want. We are getting something out of this Ukraine funding, whether it's like the thrill of being masters of the universe or whether it's money from the defense contractors, whatever we're getting out of it is more important to us than your opinion. This is not self-government. You don't run this country. We do. Shut up and obey. If they at least said that, you'd be like, okay, I get it. Those are the terms. But if I get another fucking lecture from Joe Scarborough about defending democracy when this is not a democracy, it's not even a close approximation of a democracy, then I'm going to go crazy because I just can't deal with the lying.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. What's interesting is that there are people saying that now. And I think that's a relatively new thing in terms of mainstream media. It's and I consider what you do on X mainstream media. I mean, this is what we're on right now is essentially mainstream media. It used to be you could call it there's corporate controlled media.
I agree.
And that used to be mainstream media. Mainstream media used to be CNN. It's not really anymore. Mainstream media is what in terms of the volume consumed. More people are consuming things on Twitter, on X, than there are on anything else. They're consuming information through the internet, through YouTube, for good or for bad, whether it's correct or incorrect. They're consuming information in different forms now than ever before. So more people are saying what you're saying than have ever said it before. And when people lie and when people bullshit and gaslight, it's more offensive now than it's ever been before because there's so much access to truth. That it's just you could see it now. If you're paying attention, if you're not a boomer who only reads the newspaper, you pay attention and you see it. And you go, this is horse shit.
And I should have given a warning tonight, a parent warning for language. There's going to be a lot of this tonight, so just be aware. And I'm not filtering it. These are just things that need to be said. The fact is that we're in a place right now when there's so much information flowing. There's no way that these fools can continue to lock it down. And to hold it and to try to tilt the narratives to such a degree that we literally start to comply to everything they say. Obviously, one of the big pieces of news today has been the Trump trial, which I haven't really followed. I'm just going to give you a quick piece on this. Again, most of these pieces tonight have language issues, so just be aware of that. But, you know, the insanity of the Trump trial, once again, is just, we're at a point of ludicrous of the sorts of things that are going on. And with this, there's so much of this happening on the ludicrous that unfortunately the byproduct of this is apathy. And we need to get past that. But take a listen to this.
I don't think people have a grasp of how fucking ridiculous the charges against Donald Trump are. And to be clear, I'm talking about the charges for the trial he's in right now. But let me explain how fucking stupid this is. So the base charge of all of this is falsifying business records, which is a misdemeanor. And the statute of limitations has run out on that charge. So the only way the DA, Alvin Bragg, can actually charge him with this is if he ties it to a felony charge. So the felony he's tying it to is an election contribution violation. And this is where it gets so fucking stupid. DA is trying to say that the hush money that was paid to Stormy Daniels, which is legal, you are allowed to pay somebody to shut the fuck up. But he's saying that because Trump paid that personally, instead of out of his campaign fund, he committed a crime. Even though if Trump had paid that out of his campaign funds, he would absolutely be guilty of a campaign contribution violation. Like if you pay hush money out of your election fund, that is absolutely a crime. That's why Trump didn't do that. The DA is somehow trying to say that Trump paying money out of his own funds, out of money not raised for an election, this is just money in his bank account that he somehow committed an election contribution violation. Like you've got to be fucking kidding me. I'm going to be honest with you. I wish I was making this up, but sadly I'm not. Donald Trump is on trial because he didn't use campaign funds to pay Stormy Daniels. He is on trial because he paid her out of his own money. That is somehow a crime. That is somehow an election contribution violation. Not paying money out of your election campaign, not paying the money that people raised for you in the election, and instead using your own money is somehow an election contribution violation. You literally cannot make this shit up.
Clown world. And it's total clown world. And you can hear the frustrations because it's interesting. Typically, when you go through pieces, as I do every day, you find very little language issues surfacing. And I'm highlighting this tonight, too, because people, even Tucker Carlson, people are just fed up. We've just about hit peak stupid, and people are looking at this going, this is insane. What is wrong with our world? Whether it's the conversion of kids, which are damaged them forever, by the way. And we just need to emphasize that again and again. I mean, the, converting kids and transgender, I think it's, and this is going to sound very horrible, what I'm going to say is, it would be better to abort a child than to put them through the transgender conversion. And I say that as knowing how dark and evil abortion is. What they're doing to a child is creating a living hell for them, that they will die slowly in their soul and ultimately commit suicide. It is a living torture. And every one of those people, doctors, surgeons, counselors, teachers, they need a millstone and be just cast into the sea and drown. I have no patience for it. I am not going to give it mercy. They know what they're doing. They're intentionally doing it. They're intentionally doing it to destroy children. There is nothing correct about this. So we are dealing with this world of insanity. It's an upside-down world. And it's beyond anything we can imagine. I mean, here's a report from the streets of New York of looking at what they're doing to these illegals. Just take a listen to this.
Back here, and as soon as we started filming, they're now moving them all inside because they don't want us to see what's going on in New York City. Now, I want to highlight these signs as well. They say, did you know we can book your ticket to travel anywhere outside New York City? No need to wait in line. Just tell the front door staff you'd like to get a travel ticket. Now, this is in 8 different languages up there. So you have multiple people from multiple countries being offered free tickets out of New York City. And again, this whole area was just filled with migrants. But as soon as we got here and we started trying to speak to them, they're all gone now.
Just like that, they're all gone. They move them out of the way because we don't want anybody to know that we're using taxpayer dollars. And this is just it. Is everything about your taxpayer dollars is being used in some capacity to fund something overseas. This is, again, and it's the frustration people are feeling is enormous. And obviously with this comes everything else. Frustration and apathy. I keep coming back to this because if there isn't an understanding of our engagement and what we can do to defeat this, this is the system of this depth of corruption leaves people feeling they have no control. Here's a great summation of so many things right here.
Last night, Israel launched a bunch of rockets into Iran in retaliation for Iran sending a bunch of drone bombs over to Israel. It does look like maybe this Saturday the Senate is looking to vote on their big national security bill. It includes aid to Ukraine, Israel, humanitarian aid to Gaza and Taiwan. It also includes the TikTok ban bill. Does Israel have the right to defend itself? I don't give a fuck. Are the Palestinians being held and corrupt? I don't give a fuck. Is Ukraine gonna get taken over? I don't care. I don't care. I'll figure that out. I'm fucking tired of being the world's police, okay? I have zero interest in going to war. None. Not for Palestine, not for Israel, not for Ukraine, not for Taiwan. Rumors that China's gonna come and bomb our infrastructure. Let me go ahead and translate that for you. It means that our own government's probably gonna take down our infrastructure, and then they're gonna blame China to keep us afraid and to keep us perfectly complacent with sending our tax dollars to God knows wherever the fuck wherever. I stand with the American poors whose dreams of owning a home are forever diminishing while migrants from other countries come across the border and get free housing. I stand with the American poors. Poors who can't put food on their table or fill up their gas tank without overdrawing their account. I stand with the American poors. Poors who can't or won't have children because it would be financially ruining for them to do so. Poors who are more and more every day scared to walk down the street for fear that they're going to be attacked because of the rampant crime that's being allowed to happen in our major cities. The poors who wake up every single day and go to work for a company to make pennies on the dollar while their CEOs and CFOs have big meetings about how they can incorporate AI in order to replace those positions anyway. I stand with the American poors. The poors who cannot afford to live because 50% of their wages go to taxes. Then those taxes go to other countries for humanitarian aid and for defense systems. Where's our humanitarian aid? Where was Lake and Riley's defense system? The poors who are keenly aware of the child trafficking issue that we've got going on in this country, and they sit
back and watch their leaders do absolutely nothing about it. The poor who are worried about their toxins in their foods and in their water and in their air can't afford to live, but can't afford to die either. Sit back and ingest the things that are meant to keep them alive, which are actually slowly killing them, forcing them to become a part of the big pharma cycle. Repeatedly, over and over and over again, for years, for generations. I stand with the fucking American poor, tired of being beat up and beat down and manipulated and gaslit by the people that we elected in order to help keep us safe, down by the very system, the very people that are supposed to help us live this American dream that they tout so much on the back of their campaign flyers. I'm tired of being gaslit and manipulated and lied to by the media and the puppet master pulling the strings. No, I will not eat cereal for dinner. No, we will not be quiet while you send our tax dollars to anybody else but Americans. Oh, I will not buy into your fear-mongering about wars and catastrophic events that are going to happen to our infrastructure that you're actually going to do and then blame on another country so you can keep us afraid and compliant so we just keep sending you our tax dollars so that you can keep us safe. Oh, we won't comply. We won't take your drugs. We won't Netflix and chill. And we're not going to eat the cake. The American citizens deserve more than the scraps that you're feeding us that you stole from us in the first place. All I can do is make this video and express my non-compliance so that other people feel comfortable expressing their non-compliance. Then that's all I can do. For now. Dear Mike Johnson and the rest of you assholes in Congress.
I think that just pretty much puts it all in perspective, and it's solid. I mean, we are at the end of this insanity, and the great awakening is happening. There's a positive piece here I want to read to you because I think it provides a substantial look at what kind of where we're at, which is, and this says, the great awakening is working and it is brilliant. In 2017, the QOP brought together thousands of decentralized minds willing to work for the free, dig into some very ugly subject matter, and work nearly independently to expose the truth. The digital soldiers are not one voice that can be arrested, deplatformed, or silenced. They cannot control us. We are an army of little frogs, and we are everywhere. Since the first Q post, thousands more have joined the battle, and the evidence we have exposed has brought awareness to bigger voices who have taken truth to their bigger audiences. In a fight against globalist criminal syndicate and with an organization that is built on lies from the top, the only counter to it is the truth. They have no answer for it. We force them to lie more and they expose the bigger lies. Narratives that used to be the last years are trampled by truth in hours, which is a true statement. Monkeypox, gone. China, white tongue pneumonia, gone. COVID reboot, gone. Bird flu going as we speak. Black man killed by police in Chicago after firing first, off the radar. Globalist warming shattered. Every lie and narrative gets blown up by the nerds with words and dank memes. You have to take a step back and see just how many wins we have nearly every day. Stand in awe. We have no money. We have no hot lights. We don't get paid, but we show up every day and expose the truth while lifting spirits and soaring at 40,000 feet. The brilliance of this movement is astounding, which I would agree with. It's just an amazing piece. Now, if you didn't hear today, we also had a guy light himself on fire in front of the courthouse where Trump was at. This dude is a mixed bag. He's apparently an anti-Trumper, but he's a deep dive guy. I think probably a victim of some sort of MK Ultra. But take a listen to this piece just to kind of give you an idea of who we're dealing with. And this is actually not off base at all. It's pretty good stuff.
Hey, want to learn the biggest secret in the world? In March 2023, sketchy billionaire Peter Thiel started a bank run. I did 1,500 hours of research, and I learned all their rotten secrets. The big one is that cryptocurrency is history's first planetary multi-trillion dollar Ponzi scheme. That's an economic doomsday device. And when that Ponzi goes insolvent, as all Ponzis must, we'll get the worst economic collapse in world history. And every powerful person you can think of is in on it. Want to know why everything gets worse and more expensive? That's because we live in a secret kleptocracy. That's when the government gets taken over by con artists whose only job is to steal from the public. And I hope you know this is wonderful news. because now that the public knows about the secret kleptocracy, they get to abolish their criminal government. Follow for more, or read this booklet, and you will bend history.
Yeah, the dude's a trip, and it's just another one of these crazy incidents we can't even explain. But by the way, he survived it, and he's now texting from the hospital from his burn bed, I guess. And if you didn't hear, Dubai decided to play with weather warfare or weather modification, screwed it up, and they flooded all of Dubai.
Say the weird thing.
When the nations of the East flood an entire city accidentally because they messed up on the cloud seeding, they say, oops, we messed up on the cloud seeding. But when the Western world does the same thing, they say, it's climate change. Let's raise the taxes, take away more of your freedoms, and kill the fucking cows. Okay, bye.
Say the...
Which, again, is on point. That's exactly what they do, and it's exactly what we're left with. And just to give you a little optic of some of the somebody's potential future, and probably brewing in the dark alleys and corridors of the militias in Texas and Florida, take a listen to this.
What if Texas and Florida decided together to break away from the United States and form a single country? Well, if Texas and Florida wanted to break away from the United States, firstly, Florida and Texas will most likely invade and annex Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, as it will connect the country by land, as well as it will give the country clear access to the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic Ocean. If we take a look at its economy, you can see that it would already be the third richest country in the world with the combined GDP of $4.5 trillion. This amount of money would make the country more rich than Japan, India, and Germany, while still remaining behind China and the U.S. The total land area of the Sunbelt Republic is approximately 455,000 square miles, making it the 55th largest country in the world by land area, larger than Germany and Sweden but smaller than France. It would have a population of almost 66 million people, which means that it would have more people in it than all of France, making it the 23rd most populous country. Finally, its military with 225,000 total personnel would be bigger than the military of France, Germany, and United Kingdom.
Interesting perspective. It makes you wonder where we're going with all of this. And we are headed towards a interesting moment in our history, I guess one would say. Lots of things to ask and wonder. I mean, are we going to make this through without revolution and violence? I don't know. But what I do know is that we're being pushed to a very limit of everything that we can tolerate and everything we can handle. And part of that, in that overwhelming piece, when you start to layer that on, is that people end up tuning out. They become the movement of apathy, not the movement of action. That has happened now because people needed, or at least expected, to have very quick returns on the problem, not realizing how deep this corruption was. And I say this, and I will continue to say this a lot. The moral corruption of this nation is not going to be fixed through politics. It has to be fixed through a strong pulpit. And until we start to see the congregation step up and start to demand that the pulpit start leaning into this, we're not going to get anywhere. The pulpit has to be the one that is, at the end of the day, preaching that message of accountability, preaching that message of saving the children, preaching that message of what tyranny is, preaching that message of taking up arms and standing up against tyranny. And we have to do it just like we did in the Revolutionary War, because we are at a point right now in our nation when things are literally spinning out of control in faster rates than we can possibly imagine. We are literally living in a satanic world. Target right now is promoting satanic clothing for children. They're in the open. They're doing it because what they understand is if they can see it, it's hard to get it out of people's minds. It's hard to get them out of people's spiritual belief systems. And the more they can put it out here, they're counting on the fact that Christians are weak. And it is a war against Christians. Because at the end of the day, we have some very clear methods and things of which we are to believe in. I think it really shows well when we go through the book of Kings and we look at where Solomon is, and that would be 1 Kings 7. We're looking at him building the temple and how God guided him, but God warned him and told him that if you deviate from me, I will crush you and I will crush your country. We don't live with that level of fear or respect for God anymore. And yet we see what happens in Kings, because ends up Solomon has something like 300 concubines and 400 wives. He can't get enough of the allures to sex. And he's every one of these wives takes him away from God himself, even though Solomon is tied closely to God. God graced him and gave him everything he needed. But at the end of the day, Solomon chooses to go another way. And God says he will not take the kingdom away from Solomon. He will take it away from his son. And he does just that. And he ends up dividing a nation. And the thing is, as you read that, you realize the power that God can do is just simply put something on people's hearts to divide them. We wonder where transgenderism comes from. And really, when we get into Romans 1:18-32, we realize that God doesn't have to do anything because it's seated there. When they step away from him, they believe in the creature rather than the creator. And we're at a point right now when people have so much embedded their belief systems in the creature, not the creator. We have a nation where all of our rights are given to us by the creator. And we don't choose to follow that or abide by that or protect that as a nation. We struggle with what do we do? And yet the consequences are clear, always clear. When Elijah came in and separated the 400 prophets of Baal in Israel, and he proved to them through the burning of sacrifices that only his altar lit after they doused their, put a moat around it, and only his altar of the bull that he sacrificed lit on fire from God. People turned to him, and then he said, "Do not let one of them escape." And they took the 400 of the false prophets of Baal, and they killed every one of them. The consequences are real, and a nation has a responsibility of protecting its covenant with God. And unfortunately, we're not protecting our covenant with God. We're accepting it as a milquetoast type idea that somehow it's okay for us just to go along and mightily just step along our days and worry more about the things that in our lives rather than the focus of what God's asking of us. And God's asking every one of us to step in right now and do bold things. And we have to do it. We have to find those things where he needs us, and we have to live that life that is completely committed to him, and we have to completely listen to him and see where he guides us and understand that this war is not a war that we're going to win without strong stands and holding the line against evil. He'll fight for us, but we have to do the effort to stand and stand against evil. And it has to be everybody, men and women. And that's the time we live. It really should be the time we live all the time. But unfortunately, when we look at how long this has gone on and we look back to the 40s and the 50s and we go further back into the teens and even at the turn of the century of the 1900s, what has happened to us? How did we fall victim of a civil war? How did we fall victim of the American Indian War? And looking at everything in terms of savages and people that hated us, how did we get played so easily? And that's the question we have to continue to ask, is how did we get played so easily? That we would literally turn and hate people. The Pilgrims built a compact with the Native Americans that lasted 50 years of peace. And yet the minute that the British got their fingers in it or the French got their fingers in it, we began to fight for one another as against one another because they were pitting each other against each other so that they could take control of the land and the resources here. And there's yet so many lies that exist within our histories. We don't even understand what was here. Why is it that Lewis and Clark's part of their expedition is still to this day classified? Why is that? What is it that they were looking for? What was so secret that it couldn't be revealed today? And again, it comes back to what I said tonight, and as I began, and I'm going to hit here to now. You drive into New Des Moines, you see a building. It's amazing. Its architecture, its detail are phenomenal. This architecture looks like something out of Russia, old Russia. But we don't have that style here. It wasn't a bunch of people in wagons and cowboys that came out here on horse and buggy. They built this thing. So who built it? Where did it come from? How old is it really? These are the questions that we should all be asking rather than just taking it for granted. And if, in fact, that building was built by the people here that settled this region, why are there not more buildings like it? Why? Because it wasn't built by us. Our histories are distorted. We're lost. We don't know who we are. And we have to get back to the root of who we are. And the way we begin that is a process of knowing Scripture, of knowing Jesus, of knowing Holy Spirit, and understanding that there are things being revealed to us. And the more we lean into this, the more we become empowered with the knowledge of our histories and a knowledge of truly who we are. And that authority, that power that we are given, prevents any of this other from happening. But somewhere along the way, We've let this elite tell us that we're lesser, that we're the cockroaches, when in fact they are the cockroach parasites that need to go. All of this has to happen in a time right now, in a critical pace. But unfortunately, with the overwhelming amount of knowledge, the risk that happens when people have not been awake, receive it, is that they become apathetic. They disengage. They don't know what to do, so they can't figure it out. And the remnant has a significant role, but even the remnant has been tired. The remnant's been asking questions like, what can I do? Because I get this. I hear people ask me, what can I do? How can we be in that place after 5 years? 5 years of going on like this, how can we still be asking the question of what can I do? When there's so many things that have been put before us, whether it's this channel, other channels, discussions among people, the ideas of homesteading, those are the principal issues of taking back this nation. And we have to do it. Life is too precious. Our country is too precious. I sat and looked in this nice neighborhood, and it's a very nice neighborhood in Des Moines, but it struck me that there's not a single garden that I see. I see a lot of lawns. I see a lot of grass being mowed, but I don't see gardens. I don't see any livestock. How are we going to live and survive if we don't have our grocery stores and our Walmarts and our central distribution centers? Our life has become one of a facade. It's become one of convenience. It's become one of a lie. It's somehow our jobs pay us this money that's based on paper that has no substance to it, that we use to buy things that we don't make, that we don't produce, that we have no idea where they come from or what their sourcing is. And to make it even better, to stretch our dollars farther, we destroy American industry, we ship it overseas, we have it done in Indonesia, Vietnam, China, wherever else, so that we can have free stuff to use our paper money with. That whole apathy comes from a network of things, a matrix of things that are so involved that people don't understand where to turn and where to go. And if they haven't had a relationship with Christ, none of this makes any sense, because on the outside I say, well, you need to accept Christ. They're going to look at me like I've got like a square head. They're going to be like, what are you talking about? What does he have anything to do with anything? We know he has everything to do with everything, because God, through God, all things can be solved. The book of Kings tells us so much about this time. The book of Kings talks to us about how God speaks to the prophets, and when things can be completely lost, he guides the voices to counsel the leaders. That's what we should be doing. We have prophetic churches that do what? They speak to their congregations. They put stuff out on the news. But where is their advisement to senior leaders? Where is their advisement to nations? The church should be the focal point of everything. Their councils around leaders should be prophetics, and they should be the wise people of the faith. Instead, it becomes the men of money and the men of finance and the men of war and the men of politics to ensure that you get reelected, or the attorneys to ensure that you can't be sued. None of this is of God. And for our nation to be reset in a nation that is one nation under God, we have to do a cleaning of cleanings, a purge beyond imagination. But we have that obligation to do it. And I would argue that whether people feel it is unjust or not, that when we look at Old Testament rules, much of this purge should and probably will end up having to be done by this blade of the steel. Not just by the simple fact, I'm going to pray for you, but that is where we begin. And we begin and we mightily wage that war against the principalities with our prayers to destroy them, to break them, to free these people, to give them an opportunity to see clearly in this world, to see what they've been part of and what they're causing. But our war is constant and real. And it's a war that we have to wage intensely to succeed. And we must. And we have the tools and the authorities to do just that, to overcome, to conquer, and to destroy this evil that has taken so much root in our nation. We want to talk about a reset? That's God's reset. That's us. And that's the anointing we have to step into and the mantles we have to carry. Because when we do that, we win. The Patriots, before we go to prayer, just real quickly, one thing tomorrow. We're going to be live streaming a show tomorrow, a very, very special and important show tomorrow. Apostle Greg Davis, who is at the Eclipse event. He is Pastor Devonese's spiritual mentor. He has asked Michelle and Leah and myself to come on to be part of his show to bridge the racial barriers and boundaries that have been established by the church. This is a huge show. That show will begin at 9:30. a.m. Eastern time. We will be live streaming it on both our Rumble and Michelle and Leah's Rumble. I'd encourage you to join in. There is also, it is an open Zoom call. And you can go to the flyer. I'll make sure Nikki puts it up. And you can post, see the flyer and see the number, and you can dial in. You can find it on the Resistance Chick site as well. But this is a big deal. And it's a first major step in trying to build, break the barriers of the black church and the white church to come to an integrated idea that we are one body. We are one body in Christ, and we are unique people in the way we express our love in Jesus. So join us tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be probably about a two-hour show. So that's 9 a.m. Eastern. That would mean 8 a.m. Central. That would mean 7 p.m. 7 a.m. Mountain. That would mean 6 a.m. Pacific. So 9 a.m. Eastern, and we'll be on Rumble. All right, Patriots, let's pray. Father God, we're just going to thank you for this day and these reflections that are very much apropos through the Book of Kings in our time, of the things we have to look at in the corruption of leadership, the failures of men in their hearts, the weaknesses that people succumb to, and the corruption that happens wholly through the Spirit, and how quickly we deviate from you. Father, we just pray tonight that there can be a fear of the living God placed up in people's hearts once again, a fear that understands that there is a choice to make. We are either with you or we are against you. But to be with you, we have to obey in all things. It's easy for us now to look at the relationship with Christ and say all sins are forgiven. But the fact is that we have an obligation to stay true to you in all things. We don't get the constant choice of saying we can choose or not choose if we want to stay true with you. And there are consequences for choosing not to be with you. There are consequences for choosing to worship the creature rather than the creator. Romans 1:18 to 32. So Father, we just ask that you just light these fires in people's hearts and their passion within them and the righteousness that must burn for people to realize that this is the hour and the time to step in, to be true to you, to abide by you, to be with you in all things. And understand that that's a walk that truly we must walk, a walk that truly we must choose, a fire that we must choose to ignite. And with that, it separates us from the conveniences. It separates us from the easy. It separates us from the things that often we want and desire, but instead ignites us with what you need for us to do. For we are in the greatest rescue mission in human history. So Father, we just ask for that prayer tonight, that prayer of the anointing of the heart. They will say, I will walk into the fires of righteousness and I will live with the fear of the living God. God, let us have that healthy fear, that healthy fear of understanding we don't want to be on the outside of you. We want you within us even deeper than we are. So lift up. We just pray for lifting everybody up tonight, Father, with that reality, that check, that gut check of saying, I'm living with the fear of the living God, for I will never be on the outside of him. I will obey him and be with him in all things. And we declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Fear, the healthy fear of our living God. It's important because all of this we deal with, this insanity, the stupidity that's out here, it resets when we go there. It resets when we get to the simple principle of having a fear of the living God. Fear isn't shaking and quaking. Fear is being on the concern of being on the outside of him. Because there's consequences for that. And that's the accountability piece that has to be reset. So Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning on Rumble, sounds like, with Apostle Greg Davis. Until then or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh, I wanna feel something. Let me get back in.